Good morning. Hope everybody's well. You enjoyed your 4th of July. Last week, if you remember at all what we talked about last week, we discussed a lot about how God can use our trials to further the gospel and how God can use our trials to complete his work and to continue to complete his work. And that's what he was doing in Paul's life. He was using the trial of imprisonment to actually further the gospel against what Paul believed, and obviously the people who he wrote to believed. They thought that the gospel was hindered, but the gospel was actually moving forward. This week, we move on, and as Paul ended last week, he ended rejoicing. He was rejoicing that Christ was being preached, that Christ was being proclaimed. And this week, where we pick up at, Paul is still rejoicing, but he's rejoicing about something a little bit different now. He's rejoicing about the fact that Christ is his life. That Christ is his life. And that's what we're going to be discussing today. We're going to discuss today that Jesus Christ is our life. Jesus Christ is our life. And Paul makes Jesus Christ to be magnified. He makes him to be big. He makes him to be great in this section. In the book of John, chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it tells us that all things were made through him, that him being Jesus, and that without him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus is literally the creator of all things, and in him is life. He is life. In Colossians 1:16, it reiterates this sentiment. It reads, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." So Jesus is the creator of all things, and Jesus is the reason that all things were created. All things were created by him, and all things were created for him. So our entire lives are centered around who Jesus is and what Jesus desires. And last week, if you remember, as I was ending, I talked a little bit about something that Paul understood that sometimes I believe we miss as modern Christians. One thing that Paul believed and understood was that Jesus is life. He understood that, and he lived out of that motivation. Everything that Paul did, everything that Paul was saying, the drive of Paul's heart was that Jesus is life. So today we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. And I think for us to most clearly understand this section of Scripture, we need to start with Paul's original thought order. So since we're beginning, the passage is 19 through 26, we're actually going to begin at verse 21. Verse 21 is the heart of this whole section. And I would say it's actually the heart of the whole chapter of chapter 1. This is where Paul is trying to get to. He's explaining this in so many words, and then it reaches a peak once he gets here. It's all dependent upon this reality. Paul understood that to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So what we're going to do today is we're going to break down this scripture. We're going to break down this scripture, and we're going to look at this entire section in light of this scripture, because this section is totally dependent upon this scripture. And I believe that Paul was trying to communicate this more so than anything else. Everything else is just explaining what he's saying here. Does that make sense? All right. So as Paul begins in verse 21, the first word he says is for. He says for. For is the same word as because. Very same word. For is the reason why. That's what it means. It's the reason why we do something. So he's saying for or because. So what comes before what he's saying here is totally dependent upon this. And what comes after what he's saying here is also dependent upon this. It's the reason why he's saying what he's saying. So he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, if you look at verse 19 or starting with the second part of verse 18, it says, yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that it will turn out for my deliverance. Verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. So Paul is speaking of his trial, what he's going through, being in prison. And he's saying, because he knows that to live is Christ and to die is gain, he recognizes that no matter what happens through the prayers of the saints and through the help of the Holy Spirit, this will turn out for his deliverance, whether in this life, by being released from prison, or in the life to come, by being executed and living with Christ. He knows for an absolute fact that this situation will turn out for his ultimate deliverance, whether in living and continuing on, or whether in dying and being with Christ. So he says, for I know that through your prayers and through the help of the Spirit of Jesus, this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul recognized that he was going to be delivered no matter what. No matter what happened in his life up to this point. No matter if he was executed. No matter if they set him free. Paul recognized that he was going to be delivered. As we go back to verse 21, it reads, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So moving past four, the next words that Paul says is to me, to me. To me signifies the intimate nature of this reality in Paul's life. This was an intimate reality in Paul's life. He's saying, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He recognizes this as a personal commitment that he's made towards Christ. It was a personal commitment that Christ placed in his heart to live out. And it is the personal commitment of every true and genuine believer in Christ. You see, this is the heart cry of every Christian. The heart cry of every Christian is, if I live, I will live to honor Christ. And if I die, I will go to be with Christ. And as you sit and as you recognize this and as you hear this and as you may nod your head and say yes and or amen, it is a recognition that God has either already given you a heart that recognizes this or that he is giving you that heart that recognizes that Christ is our everything. He's our purpose. He's our reason for being. He's the motivation of our heart. And he is literally Paul's motivating drive. He's Paul's inspiration. This is the reason why Paul had strength in his imprisonment. This is the reason why Paul was adamant about preaching the gospel everywhere that he would go. Think about this in these terms. Paul's greatest asset in his life up to this point outside of Christ was probably his freedom. It was probably his freedom. Think about Paul's life. Paul was the missionary who was to go all across the world and preach the gospel. He wanted to come to Rome on different terms. He didn't want to come to Rome in prison. He wanted to come to preach to the Roman people. He wanted to go to Asia, but he was hindered by the Spirit. He wanted to travel as far as Spain in order to bring the gospel. So Paul's greatest asset in regards to fulfilling the mission of Christ that Christ had on his life was his freedom. It was his freedom. What do you believe outside of Christ is your greatest asset, the greatest thing that you bring to the table for Christ? Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's your health. And I'm not saying this in a bad way at all. Like the thing that you, the greatest asset, the thing that you believe is most valuable to you in completing the mission that God has for your life. Maybe it's your family. You know, maybe your brothers and sisters, your kids or your grandchildren. Maybe it is your giftedness, the things that God has blessed you with to be able to bless others. What is your greatest asset? that you bring to the table. I believe for Paul, it was his freedom. So now, consider that greatest asset being taken from you. I say if it's your spouse, they're killed in a tragic accident. I say if it's your health, you are in an accident and wind up paralyzed or unable to move in the same way that you used to move. Or if it's your money, let's say that through bad investments or the economy's decline that you lose everything that you have. Think about how depressing that is, how devastating that is. You see, that's the situation Paul was in. That's what he was going through. Paul wanted to take the gospel all over the world, and he was hindered by his imprisonment. Let's not think for one minute that Paul didn't have very depressing moments as he sat there trying to understand what God was doing in his life. Paul thought that the gospel was going to be hindered. The Philippians thought that the gospel was going to be hindered because his greatest asset in fulfilling his mission before God had been taken from him. So when Paul makes this statement, you have to understand that this statement is a statement that goes above his circumstances. It is a statement that the Holy Spirit brings up in his heart to understand that with or without the greatest asset that you believe that you have, God is still at work in your life. God is still fulfilling his mission. So this was an emphatic statement. It was a resounding praise to God. You see, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. No matter what was going to happen, Paul recognized that God was going to be glorified through his life or through his death. And it did not depend upon Paul or what he brought to the table. I believe that was a revelation that the Spirit gave to Paul. It wasn't dependent upon Paul being able to go and preach the gospel. God could move the gospel forward with Paul being locked up in prison through Paul. Consider that. The gospel was moving forward through Paul as Paul was locked in prison, though Paul wanted to go out, which was not a bad desire. So God was showing Paul that no matter what was going to happen, for him it was to live is Christ and to die is gain. So he says, for to me, this was a very personal thing to Paul. He says, for me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. Let's look at verse 20. He says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. So Paul had an eager expectation and he had a hope. His hope was that he would not be ashamed. So Paul was struggling a little bit with a concern. His concern was that he could possibly forsake God in the way in which he was communicating. He didn't want to be ashamed. This was his hope and his eager expectation. But that with full courage. Now, this word here in verse 20 for courage, it actually signifies communicating with openness. So our English word doesn't capture the full meaning in Greek. It actually means communicating with openness. So what Paul wanted to do, or what Paul did not want to do, was he didn't want to be so discouraged by his situation that he wasn't able or willing to courageously speak the gospel and defend the gospel before the Roman government. That's what was going on here. So, but with full courage, now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. So our point here, for to me to live is Christ. Paul is saying, I'm going to honor Christ with my life. To live here is just living, to continue living on in the flesh, to continue living as you and I are living today. He says, for me to live is Christ. That means exactly what he says as he communicates in verse 22. In verse 22, it reads, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. So to live as Christ means to bear fruit as a Christian. If Paul was going to live on, what Paul was going to do was continue to bring more people to Christ through the gospel. He was going to continue to plant churches, and he was going to continue to encourage other believers. This is a good way to assess our personal effectiveness for Christ. In your life as a Christian, are more people knowledgeable about the gospel because of you? This is Christian fruit. Are more churches planted because of your efforts? Whether that be you physically doing things to help that, whether that be monetarily in any way. And are believers encouraged because of you? This is what Christian fruit is. This is what Paul was doing. This is what Paul is doing in these verses. This is what Paul was doing with his life. He's going, he's encouraging people, teaching people about Christ through the gospel. He's planting churches, and he's building up believers. So now, if this isn't what you believe your life is today, it could be that Satan has rendered you ineffective. That Satan has rendered you ineffective. It could be that you're not connected to Christ. Or it could be that you've placed things in your life above Christ, and you've allowed the things of the world to become more important than Christ. And regardless of what your situation is, my encouragement to you today is whatever needs to take place in your life, make those changes so that you can become an effective witness for Christ, an effective Christian, a Christian who is leading more people to Christ through the gospel, a Christian who is helping more churches become planted or strong, a Christian who is set on encouraging and building other Christians up. That is God's purpose for your life. That's the meaning for being here. That's what God wants you to do. Does that make sense? So to live literally is Christ. To live is Christ. That means fruitful labor, not only for Paul, but also for us. If we are to live according to this commitment, then we are to be fruitful Christians for God. Going back to verse 21, it reads, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." One of the greatest ways to assess the power of God in your life and the power of understanding the blessing to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is to embrace death with open arms. See, all of us, I'm sure, have some sort of fear of death. There's a level of uncertainty to it. There is. We're all alive. We don't know much about it, right? Right? Or do you? Making me nervous. We don't know much about it. So there's a level of uncertainty that comes with death. So there's an understandable fear that comes with it. But when you recognize that death for a Christian is gained, that's how you can know that the Holy Spirit has done something very, very special in your heart. When you've been able to let go of the fear of death. Because in reality, death for a Christian is gain. You're better off. We're better off. 2 Corinthians 5:8. It reads, "Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord." In a very real way, for a Christian, death is the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. It is the entrance into the uninhibited presence of God. And that is better. That is better. If Jesus Christ is life, if Jesus Christ is the purpose for living, if he's the reason for living, then it is much better to be with Jesus Christ in a way that is not hindered by sin. In Luke 23:43, as Jesus is speaking to the thief on the cross, he says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross was going to die, and he was going to die that day. He was literally in his dying moments, and he reached out to Jesus, and he spoke to Jesus, and Jesus recognized his faith, and he said, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, one of the greatest cries of the Christian heart is just to be with Jesus. And though we are all with him as we have the Holy Spirit living in us and working through us, there is nothing like being with Jesus. Side by side, seeing his face, recognizing his beauty. And you see, in death, that's what we get. We get an entrance into the glory of God in all of its fullness. So when Paul is saying here in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, he is being very, very serious. And he communicates that even more fully as he goes to verse 23. He says, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. For that is far better. I really want us to get this deep into our hearts, because as God removes the fear of death from our life, we will be free to do what God desires us to do without fear. We can do it without worrying. We can do it without death. It is without death being on our mind. It is a blessing. It is a blessing to come into the presence of God. So Paul's desire was actually to leave. He wanted to be with Christ. He recognized that that was better for his life. And this wasn't just a selfish thing. He just recognized the blessing that it would be to actually be with Christ, but it's far better to be with Christ. However, in these next verses, what Paul is going to communicate is how it is an honorable thing to put the needs of others before our own desires. It's an honorable thing to put the needs of others before our own desires. So Paul's greatest desire at this point in time in his life was to depart and to be with Christ. However, in verse 24, it reads, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Paul recognized that God would always do what's best for his church. God will always do what's best for his church. What is the church? The church is the people of God. It's you and I. It's not a building. It's not something that we walk into. It is the gathering and the assembly of all God's people. And God will always do what's best for the church. He will always do what's best for the church. So if it was best for the church to take Paul and to have him be with Christ, he would have done that. But Paul recognized by the Spirit that at this time it would be best for Paul to remain and to continue to encourage the saints and to build them up. One thing that we must recognize is that God is on our side. Don't allow your circumstances to make you believe anything otherwise. Don't allow what's going on in the world to make you believe anything otherwise. Don't allow what's going on with your house or your marriage or your car or your kids' schooling, or any other thing in life to make you believe that as a Christian, God is not on your side. He is always doing what's best for the church. And Paul was convinced of the fact that he was going to stay with the church. He says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So Paul recognized that it was going to be a greater blessing for the church for him to continue with them and for him to come back to them than for him to leave. And recognizing that, he knew that God would always work in the best interest of the church. And this was for specifically their progress in the gospel and their joy in the faith. So the progress of the gospel for the church and the joy of the church is found in community. It's found amongst the saints. It's found in seeing my wife in the morning and praying for her. It's found in watching my sister LaAsia walk in with a smile on her face. It's found in seeing the beautiful marriages and couples that we have amongst the body. It's found in giving my brother Alex dap in the morning and seeing him and embracing him with a hug and a smile. It's found amongst the saints. We need each other for our progress in the faith and for our joy in the faith. That is a profound thing. So often we can look at church or coming to church as an optional thing amongst the saints, as if it's not necessary. But we miss so much. We miss so much when we take on that mindset, because there are so many blessings that God has for us in community. And one of those blessings is our progress in the gospel and our joy in the faith. In verse 21, it reads, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So Paul is just fleshing this out throughout this entire section. He's helping us to understand what it means to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Lastly, Paul says in those last few verses, again, verses 24 through 26, "But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ because of my coming to you again." You see, Paul's point in recognizing and desiring to be back with the saints was for the saints to glory in Jesus. So everything starts with Christ. He is the reason for being. He is the creator of all things. He is the reason for our life. He is himself life. And also everything ends with Christ. The purpose for Paul was for the saints to be able to glory in Christ and glorify Christ in their lives and also in their deaths. So my encouragement to you today is live as if Christ is life. Live as if Christ is life. The very reason for your being, the very reason for your existence. As if nothing else matters, and live out your life in such a way that Christ is glorified. Stick to what God says in his word. That's what matters. Live out your life in a way that honors Christ by glorifying him in your life through being a fruitful Christian, or glorifying him in your death and having a joy in your heart that desires nothing more than to be with Christ in person. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that Christ truly is our life and that Christ is the meaning and reason for life. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would please implant that deeply in our hearts this morning. That you would transform our hearts, Lord, if we don't have that mindset, Lord, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Lord, I pray that you would help us to shake away the fear of death in our life, Father God, if we have that fear, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus that if that fear is warranted, Father God, if we are not connected to who Jesus is, I pray that you would draw by your Spirit today and lead us to you, Lord Jesus. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we go forward from here, that your blessing would be on us and that your grace would be with us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.